You're listening to an ICA podcast.
Welcome to the latest ICA podcast, and with me for this first podcast of 2011 is Lorne coming from Vancouver in Canada. Hi, Lorne.
Hi, everybody. Hi, Warren.
How you doing, buddy? What's the weather doing up there?
It's about 10 degrees. Nice sunny day up here. Good shooting weather for sure.
Excellent. Well, obviously, we had a heap of flood dramas down here. For those of you who don't know, I'm in Brisbane, which is a disaster zone with flooding. Luckily, my place wasn't, but I totally had to move all my office out. So I'm sitting in a temporary office, and if it's a bit echoey and you can hear banging around, it's because I've got plasterers and builders in fixing up the leak that came into my house. So there might be a bit of disruption.
Wow, I've been following some of that on the news, and my heart goes out to you and all those families that are involved in that.
Yeah, the country's getting back on its feet. They're very get-together people, the Aussies. They'll work it all out. Now, tell me what you've been up to. You've been doing some on-set stuff on some features and telemovies and things up there in Vancouver. Is that right?
Yeah, it's been a very interesting year. I started off the year doing some made-for-TV movies and some documentaries, and by about May, things started to slow down. You know, everybody's out shooting while the weather is good up here, and I had an opportunity. A production manager phoned me up, and they said, hey, we're looking for a digital imaging technician, colorist, to come out and do 6 Steven Seagal films, and that would take me from July until December. And I thought, wow, that sounds, you know, it's great to have to get that much work all in one chunk. And you know, it's still coloring, so I thought I would give it a shot.
Yeah, great. Were these TV movies, or are they actual theatrical movies?
I believe there are two markets that they're going to be theatrical, and then the rest are DVD, and I think they're hoping to cut those down and make a television series out of them. So I think they're a little undecided where they are right at the moment, but you know, I'm hoping to hear that there'll be a season two out of this within a few months.
So what do you actually call that job, Lorne? Because you sort of created a new job there, really, haven't you?
Well, this seems to be an expanding market that, you know, it kind of harks back. I'm a little bit of an old guy, I hate to say that, but back, you know, 20, 25 years ago, when you were out shooting on video and you actually had a video operator there painting the cameras. And that's what the DOPs want now, that they want their... They want to take control back from the Telecine colorists and do the coloring work on set. You know, I've done dailies for years and years, and, you know, there's a little bit of a disconnect when you have, you know, cans of film arrive and you start transferring them to video, and, you know, the DOP doesn't get the message to you that this scene should be cool or warm. They look at the dailies the next day, you know, their eyebrows raise to the producers, and, you know, there's a misunderstanding of, you know, I didn't intend it to look that way. So now with using the digital cameras, you have the software and the computing power to do this stuff right on set. So you, you know, as we move through the day, when you get to a new scene, you can go right up to the DOP and say, you know, do you have any special vision for this shot? Or would you just, you know, like me to add some contrast and desaturate the image? And they'll tell you right on the spot.
Yeah.
And the with all the new computer equipment, I started getting into putting the dailies on an iPad for the DOP, so he could watch it at lunch or when they were being driven home at the end of the day. I'll just hand them the iPad, and they can watch the you know, what I've done all day. And you know, it's a confidence thing for everybody all the way around that you've got a base grade down on the footage, and it gives you a place to start. And at least the finishing colorist will have a look at what we've done, and then recreate that through proper means in a big iron color correction system, and carry on the vision from the set.
So, what software are you using on the set, Lorne?
I've been using Red Cine X, which is Red's free proprietary color correction system, media reader color correction system. I like the word free. In the freelance market, anything that's free is piques my attention.
Oh, yeah, I'm the same, mate. That sounds good. Sounds like a pretty good price point to start with. But, I mean, free product, does it do everything you need it to do from your point of view? How are the color correction tools in there?
It allows you to do a decent one light. So it gives you all the primary color correction, red, blue, and green. You don't get any secondaries or power windows or anything like that. But really, when you're on set, you're dealing with so much footage because, digital is so much cheaper than shooting film. People almost leave those cameras running all day long. Yeah. So you've got a tremendous amount of footage to deal with. So I think it's a good idea that, if you have a large volume of stuff to do, that Red Cine X is a good product to get, to put a basic look on a picture.
Yeah, I mean, it has its benefits, definitely, digital being able to shoot more. But if there's any editors out there listening to this, you're like, I'm feeling for you, because you must have so much stuff just to sift through and look through before you even sit down and start to make creative decisions on cutting.
Yeah. Well, the show that I was working on was two Red MX cameras and some extra stuff on a 5D. And, there were days that there were 3.5 to 4 hours worth of dailies.
Wow.
And, back when you shot film, if you had kind of an hour and 20 minutes worth of film, that was a busy day. So the volumes of shot right up, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think the most I ever got was a really big day with a B unit and a splinter unit, and we probably put 2.5 hours down to tape, and that was pretty huge. Obviously 35mm, lots of rolls and reels.
But there's something, sorry to interrupt, there's something to say about shooting film that, when the clapper sticks came down and you heard action, everybody straightened up and did their performances, and that was it. But now with digital, you hear the directors asking, can you redo this part of the take, or can you redo that part of the take? And it just stretches it right out.
So they just keep rolling when he's saying that, I suppose, whereas previously on film they'd have cut, take two, and now they just keep rolling over that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, the film is just so expensive.
So do you think maybe there's a little bit of slight discipline's gone out of that side of things then?
I think so, because really with that amount of dailies, I don't know how you would find the gems of the performances. I mean, that's an editor question, I guess. And, it's a time thing that you have to sit down there and look at that many scenes and try and, make your notes of what scenes that you think are good or better. But, it certainly allows lots of options to go many different ways. I think it's a plus. It's headed in the right direction, that's for sure.
Yeah, so back to your grading. So none of your grades were exported or taken to the final DI grade or anything like that?
No, everything went over because we create a look file in the R3D folders, and that travels with the media.
Excellent.
Right on to post.
Excellent. And then, what do they open that up and view that their end, those files?
I'm not sure if they were using Scratch or Pablo.
Okay.
On this. Unfortunately, post colorist was out of country, so we didn't have too much communication, and I worked very long shifts, so unfortunately we had a little bit of communication problems there. Not really problems, but issues talking. It's always nice to talk to the finishing colorist and get that discussion going so everybody kind of knows what's coming, and, you know, just to develop a conversation back and forth. I think that's a big plus.
Definitely. Well, you obviously enjoyed the experience because you're building your own truck for on-set grading and DIT work. Tell me a bit about that, Lon.
Well, the truck that I got was a small telephone van. It's an Astro van. You can maybe look that up on Wikipedia, GMC Astro. And the reason that came about was I needed a truck to take my kit home on the weekends if I had a freelance gig. So I started to think, you know, when you start a new career, you start at the bottom of the pile. And, you know, it's the same thing. You're a junior colorist. How do you work your way up?
Yeah.
You have to make yourself unique. Some skills and be unique. So I'm starting out on this digital imaging technician or digital management technician / colorist. So what I did was I built a truck. I had the interior of the truck was insulated and carpeted. It has air conditioning, heating. It has a power inverter in it, and it has enough room for 2 Mac towers running rocket cards and 2 monitors and a bench seat for you to sit in. Now, it's not super big, but, you know, it looks sharp enough. I think I did spend enough time in the back of a camera truck for those dits and colorists who've done this that are listening to this. You can probably relate that the place they stick you when you're on the road is you're either in the dark room of the camera truck or you're just out in the bright light of the main camera truck, because obviously you travel with the camera crew. And it's dusty and dirty, so I thought this might be a nice way to travel. I'm able to pull up on set, so I can actually be right beside the camera crew. I'm extremely close to the generator, right on set. So if there's anything that comes up, anything technically I see, a flare or something to do with the lens, either there's color fringing or there's an issue on the camera, I can just jump out of the truck and I'm talking to the DOP in seconds.
Yeah, apart from that, you can have all your creature comforts in your own truck as well, can't you? Like a seat that you like, and, you know, maybe a little fridge with some drinks and things that you need, especially if you're working nights or something like that. I know what that's like. It can be obviously a lot more comfortable for yourself.
Well, that's between you and me. You can't very well tell the camera crew that coffee's hot in the truck, so you can't play that on the down low. But yeah, it's nice, and it's a value added thing that you're bringing something extra to the production, that you've got a nice place for them to sit on a rainy day, or you get the DOP in at lunch. He's pounding back the food, but he's having a look at your work. So it's a value-added kind of thing.
Yeah, you can get 2 clients in there, can you, and yourself?
Yes, yeah.
Great. So I've been asking you to stick some photos up, haven't I, as soon as you can, because I think it could be something of interest for me to do down here in Australia. And I think anywhere, it's going to be a growing market, definitely, for this sort of thing. Dailies are going to be pulled out from the traditional post houses as we know it, and they're going to go more remotely, and if they can be on set, like what you're talking about, then obviously that's going to be easier for everybody with access to those dailies as soon as possible. And more importantly, access with color-corrected pictures so everybody's seeing what the director's intending, which is obviously always good.
Yeah, you're right. I was going to say, it's like a whiteboard. You know, these cameras have only been around 4 or 5 years now, so they don't really have a big track record of all the workflow. You kind of take for granted working in the, you know, the Telecine rooms and the color correction suites, that workflow and all that infrastructure is, you know, 40 or 50 years old of people's trial and error, whereas the stuff nowadays with a digital camera, you know, the book hasn't been written on that. You could go any which way on that stuff.
Cool. Now, tell me, you've now written some classes based on your experience doing this this DIT color stroke work. You've already run some Apple color classes in the ICA. Just tell us about what people can expect from these new classes.
Well, the because this is an evolving area, I put together a two-day class going over kind of half of the digital imaging, digital management functions, just to kind of give my take on it. And I'll tell you, I'm not a computer person, so I'm not going to be – I'm a computer person to a degree, but it's not going to be nuts and bolts in the computer. It's the day-to-day workflow of how you're going to, you know, back up all your footage, do your color corrections. You know, we have to be monitor savvy these days, or display savvy, and you know, that's an evolving area as well. Go over some terms, what to look at in the pictures. I mean, I my value added thing is my eyes. Been a colorist for, you know, 28 years. When you say to somebody, I sit there and I watch every single frame of your show. You know, if you're talking to somebody else in the truck, oh, well, I usually just do the drag and drop thing.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
That's the value added thing I bring as a long-term person in the industry, is you sit there and you watch the dailies. So I'm emulating doing a Telecine daily session.
Yeah,
so we'll talk about that. And then, you know, the DOP always comes up to you and asks you for some looks. And we'll go over some of that. I know you have a class in your popular looks. My version is a little bit compressed because I don't have the tool set to be able to do the full-blown, you know, secondaries and power windows and luminance keying and all this kind of stuff. But with some basic tools, you can make some interesting-looking pictures.
Oh, yeah, and pretty quickly as well. Once you get ahead around your software, you can do things really quick and offer up alternatives and, I think, save mems and things. And so I think it's very useful. That sounds like an interesting class.
Yeah, well, I you know, I've got high hopes for it. I've been working on it for the last little while, and really, it's a three-day course that I'm going to try and edit down into 2 days. I mean, there's so much stuff you could do, so many different things that you could talk about. But I guess, you know, the idea of the thing is it's an evolving area. A lot of people are interested. They don't quite know the mechanics of putting this whole thing together or how to interact with the DOP, what you need to say, what options you need to go over with them. We'll talk about some client relations, lots of hands-on, and you know, lots of time for questions. So
great.
I think
so
that'll be the big part of it.
Yeah, so this is Los Angeles, February 19 and 20. And then you're running another one on the 22nd and the 23rd. Is that correct?
That's right.
And this is all at the ICA Training Center in Burbank.
Yes.
All details are on the ICA website or on the Facebook page. And if you're listening to this and you think, well, that'd be great, but I can't really get to Burbank, I'm living in Thailand or I'm in London, then just shout out, just let us know the feedback. As Lorne said, we are working colourists, we are doing jobs, we're not full-time training, but if we get a lot of feedback from a particular area, that will mean that we will stand more chance of coming to your town to run a class. So please give us the feedback if you're really keen on what you like of what you heard. Let us know. The other thing is, Lorne, monitor display calibration. I heard you've been talking to some guys about doing that, running a class on monitor cal. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Warren, that's going to be super exciting because, you know, with the demise of the CRT monitors, for the last few years, people have been looking for the answer, which monitor do I buy or which display do I buy and how do I get through my day? And, you know, you'll hear people say that, you know, they're using this type of computer display and that type of computer display. And, you know, you don't really know which one is the best. As an example, I bought a plasma screen for my my grading suite at home here, and I quickly realized that it needed to be calibrated. The you know, the monitors and displays today are a wide gamut. They're meant to produce an amazing amount of color. Unfortunately, for television broadcast, we use a rather constrictive gamut of colors. And you need to calibrate them. So, all right, how do you go about calibrating that? Do I do that myself? Do I hire somebody? How do I know that I'm getting value for getting these displays and monitors calibrated? Well, I've contacted SpectraCal, and they've agreed to come over and do a one-day monitor calibration monitor and display calibration class at ICA and go over all this stuff. And it's like, I cannot believe my luck that these folks are going to come over and talk about this. You know, anybody who works in the entertainment industry, and that would be people on set, people in post, VFX, animation, gaming, all that kind of stuff, can take advantage of the information that's coming up in this one-day class, and I think you're going to see some pretty amazing things.
Good, and that's the ICA Training Center at Burbank as well, on the 21st of February,
yes.
So that's sandwiched in between your two on-set classes, right?
Right. And again, you know, you were saying about the shout out of people who are interested in this class. This is going to be an amazing class, and I think it's going to be quite popular. And if you're an editor, colorist, anybody with monitors or displays that work in our industry and are in need of this information, here's your chance to pick it up.
Yeah, well, that's pretty much anybody in today, isn't it? We're all working at different levels, whether you're from the small one-man shop up to the big post house, we're all looking at our monitors thinking,
right.
Yeah, is that correct?
Yeah.
That'd be interesting. I'd be keen on getting some of that info, maybe running a class, some classes like that down here in Asia, because I think it's a big need for wherever we are in the world. That sounds like it'd be a useful thing.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, well, good luck with that, Lorne.
Okay.
And just on a side note, I'm running a private colour strategist class here in Melbourne for a company down there next week. Then I go up to Singapore to continue our relationship with Media Village. The guys up there running a two-day Resolve 101 Plus, and then we're doing colour strategies. So I'm looking forward to doing that. I'm just prepping a little bit of stuff for that now. We're getting some new material in. So the year started quite well, I think. I think it's going well. Kevin's got some classes structured for London coming up that I can see sold out. And then he's going on to Los Angeles just before you are to do some things. So things are going well, I think. Things have started off well.
Yeah, it's going to be nice to be down in the warmth for sure. And Kevin's going to be touching bases, and then we'll be making a game plan to hit NAB.
Yeah, that's a good one. I'm looking forward to that. We can obviously sort a few things out for the second half of the year. All right, Lorne, thanks for your help. As always, any questions, go to the ICA website, which is www.icolorist.com, or search Facebook for the International Colorist Academy. Look at the Vimeo iColorist page. There's some freebie tips and tricks on there. Thanks, Lorne, and I'll see you soon.
Okay, talk to you soon, Warren. Take care.
Cheers, buddy. Bye-bye.